I call the December 2nd meeting of the Planning Commission to order. Commissioner Hetherington, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, please?
Please follow. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Hetherington. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Present.
Commissioner Marks?
Here.
Commissioner Moreno?
Here.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Here.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Here.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. I need a vote for approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Jack. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Marks. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you, Suzanne. It's now time for public comment, and this is a time when anybody in the audience can address the commission over any item that is not on tonight's agenda and over which the commission has jurisdiction. Would anybody like to speak, and if so, approach the podium and state your name for the record? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment portion and bring it back to the commission. Let's start with Commissioner Marks. Is there a disclosure of ex parte communications?
I have nothing to disclose.
Nothing to disclose.
I visited the Santa Lucia site and spoke with Priscilla Mendoza, who works for the daycare.
I also visited the Santa Lucia site and spoke with Megan Smith, the owner.
As did I. I spoke with, I visited both sites but spoke with no one.
No ex parte.
Thank you. Let's move on to our consent calendar, which will deal with the approval of minutes of various meetings. Do I have a motion for approval or corrections? Commissioner Moreno?
The meeting on October 21st, it should be myself that's present.
Okay.
And Commissioner Hetherington, were you attending at that? Or did they confuse Heather and Hetherington again?
I think that could be the case because I didn't meet her enough.
Right. So I on the 21st, Commissioner Moreno was present. Commissioner Hetherington was not.
Very good. Did I see a hand? Commissioner O'Grady.
Yes, on the meeting minutes for the 21st, there's an Exhibit A referenced, and I did not get a copy of Exhibit A.
Nor did I.
Okay.
Any other corrections?
Also, since I was absent on the at the meeting on the 21st, I would be abstaining from that. So would have to consider these as separate items.
Very good. Do you have that, Suzanne? Or are you straight? Very good. Do I have a motion for approval with corrections?
Yes.
Moved by Commissioner Jack.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Marks. Roll call vote, please.
Are we doing a separate for each?
I think we will do them all since we've done the corrections for all.
Okay.
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
I have to abstain because I was not present at the October 21st meeting.
Commissioner Hetherington?
I abstain. I wasn't present either.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Excuse me, yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-2.
Thank you, Suzanne. We now move on to the public hearing portion, which is probably why you're here in the audience. Our first item is a conditional use permit for 8705 Santa Lucia Avenue. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Commissioners. This item is for a conditional use permit to allow a preschool located on Santa Lucia Avenue. The project is located here, as shown by this highlighted parcel, near the corner of Santa Lucia and Portola Road. It is in a residential single-family zoning district. So currently, the property is used both as a single-family residence and a large family daycare. They currently have 18 children enrolled in the daycare facility. There's no existing conditional use permit on the property. What they are proposing to do is allow for enrollment of up to 40 children, which would result in approximately 26 to 30 children at a time at the facility as a preschool. It would no longer be used as a single-family residence. This is a site plan for the proposed preschool. Most of what you may have seen on the property, if you've been to visit, is going to remain the same. What they are going to be changing, they're going to be making some modifications to the parking area located sort of to the front side of the existing residence, which will allow for additional parking spaces and will allow for some additional space so that cars can egress the facility by fronting out of the driveway rather than backing out. We did ask the site distance to be checked by a registered engineer, and they did so, and it does meet our standards for a 35-mile-per-hour street. And the applicant also employs staggered pickup and drop-off hours for the children at the preschool and at the current daycare facility so that there's a peak hours is sort of spread out in terms of traffic. In terms of the septic system, I know there were a number of questions about the septic system. The site currently does is on septic system. There's main lines, leach lines in the front of the residence, and then there are overflow lines in the rear of the residence. The system appears to be in working order just from site visits that we've made with our engineering department. Because the use is going from a single-family residence to a preschool, single-family residences are fairly intensive on how they use septic systems. There's showers, there's laundry, a lot of sort of intensive septic use items. Because it's no longer going to be used as a single-family residence, the conversion to a preschool may actually decrease flows for the facility. There's going to be no on-site laundry. A majority of the children, about 30 to 50%, are actually in diapers, it's expected. So it actually could decrease flows to the septic system by allowing the conversion to a preschool use. We did have an added condition, which is in the resolution that I handed out earlier this evening, to require an analysis of the septic system to be done with building permits when they move forward with the use. These are some site photos of the existing facilities, mainly the play areas to the rear of the existing house. There was a proposed mitigated negative declaration that was circulated to the neighbors and other interested agencies, so they've all had a chance to review that, and staff is recommending that you certify the neg deck. The findings for a conditional use permit are listed in your staff report and remain the same as always. So staff is recommending that you adopt the revised resolution that was handed out with the added public works conditions and the revised exhibit for the site plan. And that does conclude staff's presentation. The applicant's available in the audience if you have any questions.
Thank you, Kelly. Before we start the questioning, I'd like to enter into the record the three, let's see, there's actually four letters that were received. There were three in support and one from Viral Thewitt that was against. Are there questions for staff? Commissioner Jack?
Kelly, it's for 40 children, is it not 30?
Correct. The enrollment number would be a maximum of 40. However, with a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule and Tuesday, Thursday, they generally have 26 to 30 children on site at any given time.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Is this a new conditional use permit, or was there a previous one?
This is a new conditional use permit.
But it said that a conditional use permit is required. There are more than 10 children, and they've been operating with more than 10 children without a conditional use permit. Is that correct?
They have been, yes. They were unaware of our large family daycare regulations, and we actually spoke with the applicant about the process that they went through when they got their license for large family daycare, and it doesn't seem like the city is notified in any part of that state process, and so they were not aware that the city required a conditional use permit.
Well, how can these things be, how do you stop these things from happening again? what kind of a check and balance is there within the city or with the information that people who do daycare are informed of these things?
We don't have anything in place right now in terms of working with the state. What they do need to do as part of their licensing requirement is get sign-off from our fire department. And so there's a potential of working with the fire department to ensure that they're aware of what the planning department's rules are and can notify applicants in both the planning department when there is a large family daycare application.
Okay, and then I have a question with regard to the parking lot. I did ask you, because the map that was included was not consistent with the comments in your staff report, and I asked you about that, and you said that the map was an old map and did not actually reflect the situation. So that part was explained to me, as well as the fact that I understand part of the fencing will come down. But my question is there going to be...
You could condition that it be some other surface material that's more permeable.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Kelly, what happens if when you go out with the building permits that the septic system isn't deemed to be able to take care of 40 children flushing?
They would have to bring it into compliance. So if for some reason their septic system was found to be failing in some sort of way, they would need to do a repair to the septic system, whatever repair was necessary, to bring it into good working order.
There's a leach field in the front and an overflow in the back. Why that dual system now?
We don't know why the dual system exists. The applicant bought the property that way. They might have some additional information on that. We did visit the site, and it didn't appear as though there were any failures of the septic system, either in the front yard or the rear yard. Normally, when there's a failure, you would abandon the leach lines in the front and then do new leach lines, and it appears as though both are still active at this point. We might know more information during the building permit phase when they do a complete analysis of the septic tank and system.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Moreno?
Kelly, two questions. First, when I went to visit the property, the playground in front isn't actually a playground right now. So according to this, it will now become a playground. Is that correct? I don't believe so. Okay, because on the on page 55 here, it shows playground number 2 front, and that looks to me like the grass area that's being called a playground. No, I don't believe there's going to be a playground in the front yard. Okay, so I can just scratch that out on...
Yes.
Okay.
If you wanted clarification, you could certainly condition that. But it's our understanding that it won't be a playground in the
okay.
front yard.
That was mine from visiting. It was just inconsistent with what was in the proposed site plan. And then lastly, there's the comparison to the Montessori school for the parking, which I appreciate that in here. Does the Montessori school have any problems with the parking spaces and the enrollment and all of that?
I actually live by the Montessori school. On a regular day, it doesn't seem like they overflow their parking area. I think a majority of parents drop their children off and then pick them up, so it's mostly just for teacher parking or quick drop-ins. The Montessori school does hold events, and obviously in that situation, there is parking on the street. But on a day-to-day operation, they don't seem to have a problem with their parking.
Okay, and so the neighbors, as far as you know from living in that area, don't seem to have a problem with the parking and the traffic?
As far as I know, and even when they hold events, it's no worse than, say, the public schools in the area.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Commissioner? As well, and I assume that it is in the backyard where the existing leach fields are not. Perhaps Jeff English can talk to the specifics of 100% expansion areas and when they're
you
required.
You did say that it was required when the house was built?
It most likely would have been, yes.
Okay. Well, then I'll ask Jeff. There isn't any condition, any requirement that they have to be placed adjacent to each other, is there?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, because a lot of the ones that I've noticed, like I said, when there's a lot split, they'll look for another area that will have the least environmental impact, but they're usually not adjacent.
And typically that's the case. They're going to want to put them the 100% expansion area in an area that is easily built upon and an engineer can verify that that is an effective area for leach field. I don't know the specifics about this particular lot.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner O'Grady?
On parking, on page 19, it talks about the operator anticipating three full-time employees. However, when I look at Title 22 and do the math, I come up with seven required to comply with Title 22. Secondly, I see you've got a comparison for Montessori preschool, but what is the basis for the staff's recommendation that the parking as proposed is acceptable?
The first question, the state through their licensing does regulate obviously how many teachers and adults need to be there, you know, versus how many kids. I know also that the ratio changes depending on the age of some of the children, and so they will have to meet all employee ratio standards set by the state through their licensing. I believe, you know, three was an estimate based on what they have today, and maybe if they didn't get to 100% enrollment, what they expect to be operating at in terms of a level. Staff's recommendation, there's in the code section, there's requirements for schools that have less than 10 children, which I think requires, you know, around four spaces, something like that, you know, preschools. So based on if those standards were applied, this would meet or exceed those standards. We also did look at the Montessori school and other similar schools, and this parking was appropriate in terms of ratio.
So I was looking for something more specific to hang our hat on here. Of course, the number of state-required employees will have an impact on the parking requirements, right? Okay. You're proposing to condition the project with respect to the septic as some sort of a study at the time that the permit is applied for. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so plus there are Title 22 requirements for the facility in terms of square feet per child and whether you count bedrooms or not, or kitchens or other areas that you don't count. So do we know at this time that the residence is actually going to be suitable for 40 children?
I believe they have been working with our fire marshal through the state licensing process on determining the occupancy. I believe the applicant stated that based on their square footage, they would be allowed about 70 or more children in the facility just based on square footage. So 40 is way within that number. In terms of the house itself, in terms of building regulation, there could be some additional requirements for exiting to make sure that all of the doors are 3 feet wide and things like that. We don't expect that there to be a lot of major structural changes to the house. We might need to reconfigure a restroom to meet handicap accessibility requirements. But other than that, our building department has reviewed it, and they do believe that the changes that would be required would be fairly minor in nature in terms of majorly changing the structure of the house.
Okay, so staff is convinced that this project is feasible?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Yes,
sorry.
Commissioner O'Keefe.
I'm sorry, but I have one more based on some of the other comments.
Sure.
Could you please explain to me why you added conditions 7 and 8, especially 7? Page 53.
Sure. When we look at sort of preschools or any schools in a residential area that we have review over, we do have traffic concerns from the neighborhood, and we do want to make sure that we're sort of doing everything possible to alleviate some of those impacts that the school may have. And so by having a staggered schedule.
Thank you.
Commissioner O'Grady?
On page 53 also, condition number one, says that the permit shall be ... regardless of owner. I would suggest that's having regardless of owner in there is not appropriate to have, because the state has requirements for owners, and this could very much fall into conflict with the state requirements. Plus, the CUP, as I understand it, runs with the property. And so isn't that superfluous anyway?
The CUP does run with the property, and that's just a clarifying condition that states that it does run with the property. We can't revoke a CUP if ownership changes because the city's not notified when ownership changes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes, thank you. Kelly, one of the neighbors has suggested a 6-foot solid fence to reduce noise. Do you think that would be effective?
I think that it could be. Currently, this is the side that's adjacent to sort of the adjacent residential property, and there is a solid fence located there. I'm not sure if all of it is 6 feet tall or if some of it's a little bit shorter. What doesn't include a solid fence is this here, which faces the rear half of the applicant's property. So I suppose that there could be some sound leakage sort of around the corner. So you could benefit from adding a solid fence there, but the portion that's not solid does face their own property.
So the playground is well within the property, away from the property line. So
it's adjacent to the side property line where this solid fence is, but in terms of the rear, it's about halfway from the front and back of the property.
All right, great, thank you.
Commissioner Moreno?
Along the lines of that same concern, I think the neighbor is also under the impression that there's going to be a playground in the front yard, so that it keeps coming up, so maybe that does need to, for sure, with the applicant, be clarified.
Yeah, you can clarify it with the applicant, and then you can also add a condition if it's a concern.
Okay, thanks.
Commissioner Hetherington?
I guess I'm concerned because I'm sure do have concerns. Because I go up that street frequently in that neighborhood and have to back out onto Santa Lucia sometimes. I can't imagine what it would be like increasing the traffic to the degree that 40 children would bring. So my question to you is, do we have anything in our codes that protects the neighborhood?
What protects the neighborhood is basically this hearing. So this particular use, because it is seen as more intensive than a single-family residence, requires a conditional use permit, which allows the Planning Commission to review it and the neighbors to have a chance to express their concerns. You are able to add conditions to a project as you see necessary to mitigate any impacts that might arise from a particular location or situation. So in effect, this hearing is what's there to protect the neighborhood and make sure that their concerns are heard.
Commissioner O'Grady?
On page 42, this is in the initial study with respect to noise. Item C, a substantial permanent increase in ambient noise levels in the project vicinity above levels existing without the project. The box that's checked is less than significant with mitigation incorporation. What are the mitigation measures that you had in mind there to reduce the noise?
The listed mitigation measure limits hours of operation for the facility and limits any sort of special event that they have.
I guess the fences could also be considered a mitigation.
Correct, yeah. They currently meet our code in terms of having that side fence be solid, but you could add an additional fence along the rear of the playground.
Okay, on page 45, which is page 16 of the study, under transportation traffic item 15, excuse me, D, substantially increase hazards due to a design feature, for example, sharp curves or dangerous intersections or incompatible uses. The box that's checked is less than significant with mitigation incorporation, and I wondered what the mitigation measure was for that.
The listed mitigation measure down there at the bottom of the page was to provide a site distance analysis, which we did not have when we posted the mitigated negative declaration.
Okay.
That site distance has been completed, and they do comply with the requirements of our codes and engineering standards.
Okay, so then it wouldn't really be hazardous. There's no mitigation. It's just we did the study.
At least in terms of the safety aspect for those cars.
Thank you.
Any more questions? I have just a couple, Kelly. I understand that for a preschool, there has to be some certification that the state performs. Is this fairly rigorous?
I would defer that question to the applicant. I know that she's going through that process, and she'd probably best answer the specifics of the process.
Okay, and just a couple of questions that were raised by the letter from the opponent neighbor. She had some questions regarding new playground structures. Will there be any new playground structures on the property?
Not to our knowledge. You could ask the applicant if she was planning on adding anything additional.
Okay, and she also asked, will recreational vehicles, trailers, and boats be allowed to be stored on the property?
I don't believe that the use allows for that sort of accessory storage for non-preschool-related items.
Okay, and will there be a permanent sign for the preschool?
There can be. There currently is a sign on the property, and I don't know if the applicant's planning on changing that sign at all. I don't believe so, but you could ask her.
Okay, and there was also a question about erosion and whether asphalt curbs would be installed along the driveway edge to prevent erosion at the edge of the roadway.
I don't know specifically if curbs are required. They do have to go through our public works review, which looks at drainage and making sure that there's no increase in off-site flow. And so sometimes curbing actually creates additional off-site flow by channeling the water. So I'm just not sure in terms of the specifics of the construction standards what will be required based on our requirements on our code.
Perhaps that would be a question for you, Jeff. Do you foresee any problems with erosion with the driveway as proposed?
I haven't seen the construction plans. That, as Kelly mentioned, will be dealt with in the review process. We would require that they meet all our current engineering standards. Typically, that would not include curb gutter or any sidewalk in that location. The driveway approach would be something that we would look at so that the flow of water is not interrupted and does not increase erosion downstream. So, yes, that will be looked at as part of the review, Public Works' review of the construction documents.
Thank you. And one last question. Let's say that the preschool is approved and they decide they'd like to change to, let's say, after-school daycare. Would they be required to go back for certification and come back to the Planning Commission? It would require more toilet use, and that would be an impact on the septic system.
It could be. I believe the age of the children. I don't believe she's going to be watching like teenagers after school or anything like that. You can certainly clarify that with her. So I believe that the age of the children and the ratio of, you know, diapers versus younger children remains the same throughout the day.
Very good. Thank you, Kelly. Okay, I'd like to open it up to the public. And first, I would like to ask the applicant if they would approach the podium. I'm sure there's some questions for you. And if you would state your name and your address for the record and tell us about your project, please.
Hello, my name is Megan Smith. Let's see, should I just address some of the issues that were brought up?
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about what you plan for this location?
We would like to, currently the daycare is running smooth. It's been open for a little over 3 years. Basically, the idea came about because of the need in the area. I have a waiting list. Have had one for quite a while. With my daycare children, we do a preschool program, just a miniature preschool program. And I was an elementary school teacher in the Valley and have been trying to help the children in my daycare prepare for kindergarten. Word of mouth has got around, and we have quite a waiting list. The idea came around actually from parents just wondering, can you expand? Can you get a little bit larger to help more children in the neighborhood? So that's actually how the idea came about. I'm sorry for the confusion in the enrollment of 30 to 40. The original 30 number was what I envisioned 25, 26 to 30 actually being with us daily, considering the fact that 40 are enrolled and they share days. Some are there on Monday, some are there on Tuesday. So I'm sorry for the enrollment, the confusion. That was my fault, probably with Kelly. That was totally my fault. Confusing Kelly. Right now I have 18 enrolled, but usually about 10 are there a day. Like I said, they share days. There are part-timers that are coming just for the preschool program, trying to prepare for kindergarten. Children that have moved away from our current daycare have actually left because they've grown too old and they're in elementary school all day, or they have actually moved out of town. Otherwise, our children are there with us as early on as they're enrolled and until elementary school. So a lot of siblings are with us now. I anticipate a lot more siblings coming with the preschool. Hopefully that'll help on traffic issues. I know there was a question regarding teachers. I was just going by, and I'm in contact quite often with state licensing. It is one teacher per 12 children. So that's where we were getting 3 to 4 teachers, just doing the quick math on that issue. And that's very current as far as speaking to the state licensing ladies almost daily on issues regarding the preschool, trying to make sure we're making the correct steps. So the 3 to 4 teachers seems like a very logical number for us. Obviously, all 26 to 30 don't get there at 7 a.m. They trickle in, as will the teachers, and then the children trickle out, as will the teachers. So there won't even be 4 teachers there at one time. It will be on an as-needed basis. And that's all I could think. Oh, you know, another issue, I do understand the neighbor's issue. Children giggle and laugh and play a lot. I do understand that issue. We are fairly structured. I believe as a preschool, you're even more structured than you are as a daycare. It will be like a miniature school, if you can imagine, as far as order and structure with the children and their behaviors. And let's see. And that was all I could remember that you had questions on so far.
All right, thank you. Are there questions for Ms. Smith? Commissioner Moreno.
Hi.
Hi.
Question again about that front yard, the playground. Will that be a playground or not?
You know, initially, I'm sorry for the confusion.
It's
We've
okay.
had so many different drawings.
It's okay.
Initially, we kind of had thought it would. It's just not going to be needed. We're not going to be that large, or hopefully not going to be that large. It just is not a needed area. So I'm sorry for the confusion on that, too. We'll just never need that space. And the backyard, I don't know how well you can see the pictures, is so well equipped for that number of children. It will not be used ever.
What renovations within the dwelling are you contemplating?
Actually, none as far as I know, other than the doors, making sure all the doors are the correct width, accessible for handicap. That is the only thing I anticipate. Any changes? Oh, they're outside the back door going out to the playground. There's a little bit of a lip that a wheelchair could not get down, so we would be installing a ramp for the wheelchair to get down to make it handicap accessible. Is that it?
Aren't there some square foot requirements per student, like 35?
It's 35 for indoors and 75 for outdoors.
Yeah, but the 35 does not include things like bedrooms and other. And, yeah.
Well, the bedrooms, since we will not be living there, they're going to actually be like dramatic playrooms, so those will all be used.
Okay, so
it does not include hallways, is
yeah.
what.
So you've done the math on
yes.
on that. Okay.
Yes.
I needed you to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. We did the math. We did not count the hallways, and
okay.
actually the bathrooms
okay. so,
are not counted
okay.
in that.
All right. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Commissioner
okay.
Jack?
Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
The question I have, I mean, I think it would be important for everyone to know, we were talking about the openness of the backyard and the fencing there as to why it was that way and whether you planned on changing it. You might care to comment on you know, some of the things that the kids find interesting, being able to see through the
Oh, that's a good point. Thank you. If we have to change the back fencing to a solid fence, I do understand that reasoning. Mr. Jack had come out and wanted to see the future site, and we actually had left it, chain link. We had actually left it a chain link fence along the back with the sides closed up for the neighbors. Along the back, our yard is actually back there. There's a little hill to the left that the deer, I had told Mr. Jack, the deer graze on quite often, and the children just love to see the deer. We have quite a bit of wildlife going on back there, and no matter the squirrels, the deer.
Commissioner Hetherington?
You make reference as the other side of the chain link fence is your backyard?
Yes, it is, our property.
So the properties butt together?
It was just one large piece of property that we cut in half.
Okay.
It's just I wanted the children to be with us, keep good eyes on them. It's a very large parcel that they have accessible to them.
I guess I'm trying to clear that out of this big parcel, you cut it in half, you built another house behind the daycare?
No, it's just empty. I'm sorry, it's just empty.
Oh, okay.
An empty field.
Okay. I'm sorry, I thought you were moving on the other side
of
the chain.
No.
Could you speak to your experience with the septic system as a resident at the house? Any problems, any overflow?
Not yet. No problems yet. No problems yet.
Okay.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yeah, the California Building Code for preschools, the way I read it, would require two restrooms for males and two restrooms for females. Do you have that complement of plumbing facilities in the dwelling?
I was going by the state license. We currently have three restrooms, which, according to the state license, was more than adequate for the small number that we were wanting to enroll.
Okay, you might want to check that out with staff because I think the standard condition would be you'd have to comply with all of the state codes and standards.
With the age that we were going to have with the diapers,
right?
With quite a few of them in the diapers, that was not looked at as needed. They would not need that restroom. Maybe that is for an older aged preschool. I'm not sure.
I do not remember the ages, but it was split from elementary, secondary, mm-hmm. and then preschool was below that. So
okay.
I assumed it was your
all of them
ages. So, by the way, what age range did you say? Maybe I missed it. What age range of
you
children?
You know, I didn't.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
We would like to have 18 months and up. As far as they are usually in their diaper license, I do have a six-year-old daughter that will be with me at work.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner Marks?
Yes, Ms. Smith.
Yes.
Concerning the noise yes. issue that's been raised, both sides of the property are currently fenced? Are they fenced with solid fencing?
The house barricades one side of the... Are you asking about the playground or just the property in general?
The property in general.
Both sides are... How would I explain that? Both sides are solid fenced most of the way through and chain link in the back. I don't know how I would explain that.
Okay.
How far back are they solid fenced? How far back are they solid fenced? To the end of the playground, and then the last part of our land is chain link. I don't know length. The first two-thirds of our property is solid fencing, and then the back pasture where we have cut off from the children is the chain link. Is that making sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
And beyond the chain link, there is no residence?
Beyond the chain link is empty field. Okay. We have a lamb.
Would a 6-foot wooden fence around the playground or on one side of the playground interfere with the operation of the facility?
The fence currently is 5 foot right now.
So you have a fence around the playground?
We have a fence, just not along the back where Mr. Jack had told me that, or reminded me we were talking about our conversation. We did leave that part open.
That's the chain link?
The back, yes.
Okay.
So we could enclose that with a 6-foot fence if needed, the back.
Okay, great.
Definitely.
Thank you very
Thanks.
Much.
Commissioner Jack?
One point of clarification for Mr. Thewitt. With regard to playground equipment, I'm not familiar with, it's been a long time since my kids were running around playground equipment. So I'm curious if you had to add any.
We get when we do replace. That does not seem like it would be difficult to accommodate the neighbor on that. Okay. There are so many options for the children. They love just running and playing in the grass, so that would be no problem at all.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Moreno?
Ms. Smith, again, for the 3 or so years that you've been running Busy Bee, with the parking situation and the backing out, have there been any accidents as a result of the running the business at that location?
No.
Okay.
Commissioner O'Grady?
The grassy area in front of the dwelling, children will be playing out there? Is that what's contemplated?
In the front, next to the street, Santa Lucia, no. I'm sorry for the confusion. There will be no children playing in there.
Okay. So the grass here, that'd be by Santa Lucia in the parking lot.
It will just be grass.
That'll just be grass.
Yes. No children there.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions for Ms. Smith? Thank you.
Thank you.
One more.
One
Hold
quick
on.
One.
I'm
just,
sorry.
Just a point of clarification as to the hours of operation.
7 to 5:30.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Would anybody else like to speak on this topic? If so, please approach the podium and state your name and your address for the record.
Hi, folks. My name is Doug Lyon, dad at the Busy Bee, also local contractor, and have a 4-year-old son there. Would like to say, definitely would like to see you guys approve this project. It's been a wonderful, wonderful operation. My 4-year-old son came home and actually spoke Spanish in his colors at 4 years old. I took Spanish as a freshman. I think things have changed a little bit. We should not only approve this for her, but we should build her a school. She's going to take our community and our kids to a whole new level, and that's what we need as parents, community, all across the Atascadero. So I definitely want to give support. Parking issues. I probably drive the largest truck out of everybody. Have a utility bed, 1 ton, can pull in, I back up, and I pull out the front way. Right now, I can and say, please, let this go through. Be great for the kids and great for the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. Would anybody else like to speak?
Hi. My name's Amik Jones, and I have grown up in Atascadero, and I'm now raising my children here. I have 2 young children. One of them has been with Busy Bees on the second year now, and I consider myself somewhat of an expert when it comes to childcare in Atascadero. Having an older child, this is actually the 7th facility that I have had a child enrolled at in Atascadero. And I just would like to say that good child care is very hard to come by. And when you find a good, stable, safe and loving environment like we have with Busy Bees, that I am completely 100% satisfied, and this is the first facility that I have been satisfied with in Atascadero, and I would highly recommend it, and I support anything that Megan is looking for. She's a great teacher and a great woman and a great role model, so I hope that you support this.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Seeing none, I'm going to close. Okay, you just made it. Better hurry, huh?
Good evening. I'm Verl Tuitt. I live at 8505 Santa Lucia Road in Atascadero, California. I'm here to talk about the resolution and approval of a conditional use permit at 8705 Santa Lucia Road. When this project was brought to you, it was for 30 children. Now it has grown to 40. I'm already concerned with the noise I hear now. This plan will double the 18 children now at the daycare center to 40 children. How would you like to live next to 40 children playing and screaming every day when you have retired, which I just retired? When I first looked at this plan, I didn't notice the addition of a new playground in the front yard of the single-family residence, which has been on the drawing that you had on the board. I believe this will only add to the noise levels in our neighborhood. I would like you to consider adding requirements allowed in the Municipal Code Section 9-6.125 under Site Design Standards to have a 6-foot solid fence put around the playground, 1 feet level, and then it transfers into a 4-foot chain link fence on the side of the property for about 30 feet, maybe 40 feet. If the property was to be closed in entirely, it would probably take 80 to 90 feet of wooden fence to enclose the entire swing, sand and play area in the back. Coming down the side would be a great benefit to us to alleviate what noise there is there now. Also, could you limit the size and height of any new playground structures added to stay below 6 feet? Because some of the new playground structures have gotten so big and tall they would allow noise to travel. If you're familiar with Portola and San Marcos Road where the Calvary Church is, they've recently put a new playground structure in. It's massive, beautiful, but massive. In Section 12 of Mitigated Negative Declaration, Population and Housing, 12B and C, it states that once a preschool use is established, the property will not be used as a residence. Will this section be added to the final approval document, or is it already covered under the mitigation monitoring, and who will monitor this? Will recreational vehicles, trailers, and boats be allowed to be stored on the property? Will the preschool be allowed to put up a permanent size sign on the property? And if they are, what will size be? If you approve this, will San Lucia become a new area in town for businesses to apply for conditional use permits? I have lived on San Lucia Road since 1992, and traffic has grown every year. Santa Lucia is like a small freeway during rush hours. Should a traffic survey be done at this location? Will a new speed limit be posted in front of the new school? I know you've looked at the site and think there's enough room for safely entering and exiting after adding parking in and turnaround zones, and have different drop-off times for the children. I believe that this part of the project will add water runoff onto San Lucia Road. Are you going to put asphalt curbs along San Lucia Road down past the 2-3 houses below him to stop the erosion between the soil and the asphalt road that is already ongoing? They went uphill 250 feet with a plus sign. They went downhill 250 feet with a plus sign. You have Portola, a little over 250 feet away from the driveway. You have Navarette, a little over 250 feet away from the driveway. It's a four-way stop at Portola Road. When the people are coming downhill in the mornings, it's like a racetrack out there. When
Mr. Thewitt, I'm sorry. We're going to have to cut you short. Could you wrap it up, please?
like I said, there's a safer location for this community. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi. My name is Kathy Tuitt. I live at 8505 Santa Lucia Road. I hope to retire in 2.5 years. I haven't been able to yet. My husband has just retired. We both worked hard all our lives and saved to gain the home that we have now. I was looking forward to quiet gardening and enjoying our peaceful back acre. It will not be possible now with 40 yelling youngsters or giggling girls, whatever you want to call them, just a house away. When they get going, and my experience is mostly from the Templeton Park on Saturdays, they are yelling youngsters. I hope with the numbers that we've had, it certainly hasn't been that way only occasionally, but then again, I'm not home during the day right now. I'm extremely concerned, disappointed, and dismayed due to the current economy decrease in home values. We cannot easily consider just selling and moving. I did not buy a home next to a school on purpose. I believe it will decrease the value of my home and my life investment to have a school so near us now. I believe traffic will increase due to 40 parents stopping twice a day, coming and going now, so close to the major four-way stop intersection Santa Lucia and Portola. There's only really one other house between this house, or the house that the school will become a school, and that intersection. For some reason, you don't think this will cause any adverse impact. I believe it will. I'm afraid I will need to change my hours of work to accommodate this increase in traffic to be able to get out of my driveway in the morning. Some mornings it's difficult now. I'm assuming that's because of the 41 and 101 project. I do request a privacy shield around the property for all the neighbors. A 6-foot wooden fence might help to restore some privacy. So far we've talked about the area in front, and everybody enjoying that back hill with the deer on it, but when I go back there and play with my dog, I hate to say I really don't look forward to having 80 kids watching me play with my dog in the backyard. So I guess I'd like a little of that privacy restored. I'd like to share the station uphill. I believe the plan includes replacing lawn with parking surface. Those of us downhill are severely impacted by any changes in the water drainage uphill. Loss of any grassy vegetation areas and or dirt will create more runoff. And hopefully you guys will do something about it instead of us just dealing with it in our driveway. I feel I have to speak up to protect our investment. I'm sorry, I'm really nervous. I don't like speaking out against anything, but anyway. To protect our investment and attempt to prevent a dangerous traffic hazard. I hope you will choose another location for this school. It sounds like it's a great school. I have nothing against it. I just think a safer location would be better. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Tuitt. Is there anyone else, sir?
Hello, my name is Jeremy Smith. I'm a co-applicant. And I just want to address some of the things that were spoke of, derogatory to the project. First of all, the noise level. I understand this is a residence, and we are planning to do something bigger than we had originally planned. But, you know, some people's noise is other people's music. I don't know why they feel that their dog barking is different than our children playing. I have three daughters myself, so I don't know. And as far as the erosion goes, I'm sure you all know that Santa Lucia is on quite a grade already. So the water runoff that they're referring to can't even be contributed to my property. It's the property above me and the property on the other side of Portola. There's actually a drainage ditch at the back end of our property, and it drains all the way down. Unfortunately, it collects on their property and then drains off. I don't know what doing curbing out in the front is going to change that. There's no curbing. There's no sidewalks, anything out in the front as it is. As far as the noise level goes, I would say, and this is just a guess, that their property level is at least 20 to 25 feet below our property level. So our 5-foot fence might as well be a 25-foot fence to them, because their level is so much lower than ours already. And they mentioned themselves that Portola Road is right there. That's a main thoroughfare. There is a ton of traffic going through there. that's just as easy a traffic at our house, any more than normal. Portola is a busy road, as they stated, but it's no busier. I'm sorry, Santa Lucia is a busy road, as they stated, but with the new design for the parking and the turnabout and people able to pull out, we haven't had any problems in this 3 years, and hopefully we won't ever have any problems. But with the turnabout that we're proposing, and I'm more than open to have any kind of pavement or gravel or whatever you suggest. When we first moved into the house, the day we looked at it before we made an offer on it, the house almost flooded. I was out there with the real estate agent actually bailing water because of the hill creating a problem. The first thing I did when I moved in is I put an extra 6-inch drainage drain right by where the handicap parking is, over and above the 2 4-inch drains that they had in the property. So as far as drainage goes, it drains out to the street, no problem. There shouldn't be any problem, and I don't see how the 40 children being at the daycare is going to cause more of a drainage problem for the neighbors or anybody in the area. So that's really all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Just since you're a co-applicant, I'm going to ask you a question.
Absolutely.
And there may be others that would like to be asked.
Absolutely.
Ms. Tewitt mentioned her privacy issues if she's playing with her dog in the backyard. When you're in your backyard, can you see her through your chain link fence next door?
You can kind of see the property. There's a neighbor in between us, so they're actually 2 doors down from us, which is what creates the bottom. If we go back to the chain link and look down, we can look over Jim's yard and see into their yard.
So. And did your neighbor that's directly next door to you, between you and the Tewitts, have any complaints about the school?
No, Jim is, no. No, not at all.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Smith?
I do have, oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Ms. Hetherington.
What year did that property flood, the year that you bought it?
It was, I remember this. It was New Year's Eve 2004. Yeah, New Year's Eve 2004. We were looking at the property. And the 2 4-inch drains, one of the drains actually, the drain came off and something flowed in and stuck. And this isn't even my house. I'm just looking at it. And we go outside and take our shoes off and start bailing water to get it out until the fire department gets there. They came out. They unplugged it. It drained fine. And so at that point, we put screws in the thing so we wouldn't have that problem again. But, you know, we had to do just to protect the house.
Where are the drains located on the property?
Let me see here if I can point. I can probably point them out to you. You can see where the swing gate is on the left side of the property, down there towards the bottom. There is a. Do you want me to walk up to you? Right there. There is a drain right there at the corner. There is another drain about 15 feet, which would be straight up from there, right inside the trash area where the trash cans are. Those are the 2 4-inch drains. They're connected together on a separate line. And then about 12 feet past that, due straight up right there, is my 6-inch drain. Everything, it's all concrete back there. So everything from the back kind of cavitates towards the front. And so those were the two optimal spots. And that's exactly where we were bailing water that day. And the fire department came and unplugged that drain.
Do you know if the drains were originally installed because of the hill in the back?
I think the drains were installed when the house was remodeled. They added on the back half of it, and when they did that, they took the driveway, which used to come right into the end of the house, and they extended a concrete driveway back about probably 30 to 40 feet, which I think created more sheer runoff, and so they had to alleviate the water in another way. So they have the 4-inch drains installed.
So where the water pooled in front of the house is where the leach field is that correct?
No, the leach field is all the way at the very, very, very back of the property. Behind the chain link fence, behind the playground, there is another half acre over and above the rest of the property. And the leach field is at the very back of the property. There's a line of oleanders, and you can see where the leach field is.
So then it's the overflow field that's in the front?
I'm sorry. The leach field is in the front, as where the things are. No, it didn't flood in the front yard. It flooded over on the driveway area. The overflow field is in the back. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Commissioner O'Grady?
On the same subject, is there, on this drawing we received this evening, it shows an overflow septic pumping out of the tank.
Yes.
Is that operational?
Absolutely.
And why is that required if you have a leach field in the front?
To be honest with you, when we moved in, they pumped the system, and I asked the guy specifically because I had never even seen one before, so I wanted to know what to do.
Sure.
And he said...
You may. Try to keep it brief if you can, sir.
Concerning the neighbor adjacent to the property, he didn't want to upset his neighbors and come here and talk this evening about the noise that is going on next to his house. They're good neighbors. It's a great neighborhood to live in. There has not been any major problems in the neighborhood. Concerning the water runoff in the front, he's talking about drains added that go to the front of the street down San Lucia Road, I believe. In the back of the property, all the water from Portola exits from the very property on the corner, comes through their property, goes through Jim's property, comes onto my property. My property has an 18-inch culvert exiting my property, which exits down towards Navarette Street. I've seen that 18 culvert full when we have rains. The extra leach line that comes around the house and goes to the back of the property now, if there's a major water flow and flooding, it's feasible that that leach line could be affected with excess water. Normally it doesn't happen. We've had dry years. It's normally not a problem. Like I say, they've been great neighbors. The wife did come to me when they bought the property and asked me if I cared if they put a daycare center in. I said no. My wife didn't talk to me for a week after that. I expected to hear from the city and be notified before that actually happened. And obviously it didn't happen. Obviously they're great people. They have great teachers and they do a great school. I'm really concerned about the safety of the property. Let's keep the kids and the parents safe pulling in and out of that property. Speed control, speed bumps. It's a very fast highway out there. Let's keep everybody safe.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment portion, which means you may not speak again unless we open it again. And I'm going to bring it back to the commission for deliberation, or perhaps a motion. Any comments?
I have a comment.
Commissioner O'Keefe.
At the present time, I'm looking at maximum use here. And what they're proposing is 40 children. Which is potentially 80 trips. And that could happen. They've envisioned it that they have to stagger it. That's not enforceable. You could have everybody coming at the same time. Another thing is that this is a residential area. And to compare it to Montessori School, I don't believe, except with numbers, is a valid comparison. That's a different setting. Personally, I'm not bothered by children's noise, but when you are in a residential area, you do expect that it will be quieter than if you're in a school area. So there, it's the amount of traffic that concerns me. I just don't think that I cannot make the finding for the conditional use permit with regard to the safety issue because of the traffic. And then there's the compatibility issue with the neighborhood. There's no question that there's a need for good preschool, but this is a residential area. And actually, apparently they didn't know, but there should have been a conditional use permit when they exceeded 9 children. It's 10, or I believe it's 10 or more. Or whether it's 11, it really doesn't make any difference. But they have been operating without the conditional use permit that they needed. So if it were a smaller number, I could probably or possibly make the finding, but I have a concern about the traffic, and I also have a concern about the neighborhood. people bought in a residential area. 40 kids is a lot of kids. So,
anyone else?
I can't make the findings.
Thank you. Commissioner Hetherington?
I concur with Commissioner O'Keefe. I think the number of children is not conducive to a residential area. Even with a preschool, I would like to see a limit around 30, if not 25. I would also condition that that we limit the height of the playground equipment and that we also require that the fence along the sides are 6 foot solid wood or solid construction to the back fence. I too am very leery about the safety issue and traffic. I think 80 trips would be way, way too many. I think 60 would be too many, but given the fact that there would be siblings probably, you know, would cut down the trips. I'm also very concerned about the septic tank. I would have liked to have seen this study before.
Distance issue, and our condition on this project is that a registered civil engineer or land surveyor shall certify that the minimum site distance in accordance with the city standard drawing as provided be provided by the project prior to issuance of the building permit. They have done that. We do want to review their letter. We are concerned about site distance there and would in require that there be front out only driving. It is 35 miles an hour in that zone, and we realize that there are some site distance issues with a small tree in front. We would want that pulled out as well, and it looks like they're doing that in the realignment of their driveway. That's the only thing I can say about traffic there. It is, if it meets the site distance requirements, then you know that would be the only public works concern.
So site distance requirements supersede numbers?
Well, it has to do with the condition has to do with traffic speed. It doesn't have anything to do with volume of traffic. Obviously, people will meter their pulling out into traffic when there's space. And there is a stop sign a ways up from this project that will somehow meter the traffic coming across that property. Mm-hmm. But the standard does not have anything to do with the volume of traffic.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner O'Grady?
When I was growing up in Chicago just a few years ago, there was a busy bee in the neighborhood, but it was not a daycare center. We didn't have daycare or childcare in those days. It was a grocery store. So that name Busy Bee resonated with me. And I am impressed with the testimonials, and I'm convinced that you run a quality operation and will continue to do so. That said, though, I think my colleagues on the commission do have valid concerns about safety, and I know a child care provider safety has got to be at the top of your list of concerns. And so that's what I'm wrestling with up here right now. And because I do travel down Santa Lucia every day. I live to the southwest of there. That needs to be recognized and somehow mitigated. So I'd welcome some more discussion from other commissioners that I haven't heard from yet.
Any others? Commissioner Jack?
I've been out there. I exited while I turned around the driveway down, as well as at the applicant's property. I had no issues, and there was traffic, and it would be like any other school, any other time where you meter the traffic out and as the traffic will accommodate it. And I think it actually can be accommodated. I would like to ask the applicant if there would be what their thoughts would be if they limited it to 30 as opposed to 40 people.
Does the commission have a problem with opening the public comment again?
I'd love to.
Okay, seeing none, Ms. Smith or Mr. Smith, would you mind approaching the podium? Or if you'd like, you can come together, and we'd like to talk to you a little more. Why don't you go ahead and ask the question again?
Okay. The question that I have is, and I haven't, I don't know what numbers, I don't know where your break even, et cetera, is, but is 40 a magic number, or could 30 be a number that could be accommodated?
30 could be a number that could be accommodated, yes.
Can staff have some clarification in case that's the direction? Would it be a 30 per day or 30 total enrolled?
Could you clarify, was it 40 total or 40 enrolled?
40 enrolled.
40 enrolled, and it was about 30 a day that they were looking at. And if you condition it, we just need to be clear so that we can understand for their licensing what we tell them.
Why don't we ask that question again? Would it be 30 total that would make it able for you to break even, or you need 30 enrolled? In other words, some kids would come on various days and they wouldn't always be there.
I'm so sorry about the confusion of the 30 and the 40. Everyone can basically share that spot. Is that... How do I
make that more clear? As far as the state requirements are concerned, the distinction between a number enrolled versus number on the premises at any one time, doesn't the state...
It's number on the premises.
It's number on the premises.
It's number on the premises.
I think that's what we're all concerned about here.
I understand.
The maximum number of folks and cars and goings on and noise and everything on the premises at any one time. So with your 40 is enrolled number?
Enrolled and
30 would be the maximum 20, on the premises.
26 to 30 on the premises, depending on the day.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're talking somewhere between 20 and 30 folks, I guess,
I
is what
do.
I'm sort of hearing.
Thank you for the clarification. I think it's Commissioner Moreno next.
And that's also the siblings that come in. They all have siblings that come. So in the 20, 25 to 30, like I said, right now in my small enrollment, I have four sets of siblings. So that's also with... How many sets of siblings if I increase?
Very good. Commissioner Moreno? Let's move on to Commissioner Hetherington,
please,
then. That's okay.
It was right there.
If we limited you to 30 children on site a day, you mentioned a waiting list, and I think that's also throwing some confusion my way, is that if you have a waiting list and you only have, you know, so many kids coming every day, how does that waiting list feed into that? And if we allow 30, but we let you enroll 40, we have no control over having the 30.
I understand that. The state licensing is very, very adamant about your correct capacity loads. So far in the years that I've been open, I've always stayed within my capacity. They will come find you. They will close you down. They have all control over you. So my enrollment can be whatever it needs to be, as long as my capacity on the premises is what is the number it needs to be, such as 30. The teacher ratio has to be exact. Everything would lean on, I'm sorry, the state watches over us very, very well and makes sure that our on-site ratio is the correct ratio.
Okay, so I'm understanding that if we limit you to 30 children on-site daily,
mm-hmm.
you could enroll 150.
Right, but maybe 100 of those children only come one day a week. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you could only have 30 on premise.
I can only have, yes.
Right.
Joey comes Monday, Susie comes Tuesday,
that's
Lucy
comes Wednesday.
That's
the clarification I'm looking for, is that I don't think that I would go over 30 per day.
On the premises. Yeah.
Commissioner Moreno?
It seems like the pickup times are pretty staggered, so we're not looking at 30 kids being picked up all at 5 o'clock. I mean, and I'm also understanding that possibly you've got preschool and then maybe some of it turns into daycare. I mean, I know a lot of preschools, like my niece is in preschool, and it's a 8:30 to 12:30 type of thing, and then people might stay for daycare afterwards. So how is that? I'm assuming that maybe some kids are picked up earlier, some later, so that especially that afternoon would be much more staggered than the morning.
So I'm sorry, I'm not understanding the question.
What the heck did I just ask
I know, I'm sorry.
Is it that you have a preschool, like a set preschool time, and then afterwards is daycare, so that, or do you literally have like an 8-hour preschool?
We actually, there is a rest time in the day, but we don't actually turn on the TV and just let them sit there all day. We actually do daycare preschool activities all day. So, okay. Yeah, circle time, story time, we teach them their colors. Is that what you're asking? It's an actual...
So there's not like a structure like this is preschool from this time to this time, and then this is daycare.
It's an actual preschool atmosphere, structured atmosphere for preschool
and
all day, except the napping and the meal time.
Okay.
Which then, those are structured times also.
And then parents might pick up at... I mean, currently you have parents picking up at all different times. It seems
yes,
to be pretty
varied. Seem to rotate in. Excuse me. Sorry. They seem to rotate in. And that we have different drop-off times and different pickup times for the children.
Okay.
Depending on the family needs. I know someone had brought that up. But we do have different drop-off times and pickup times that are staggered.
And someone did bring up the idea that, you know, sort of the customer prevails, and if they want to...
For instance, right now, goes to work earlier than I had a time frame for, so grandma and grandpa drop off the child for her. She really wanted the child with us. So they've kind of adjusted around us. We try to obviously accommodate people, but in return, they accommodate me. I find out the parents are also very accommodating and understanding.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Commissioner O'Grady?
Let's try a little bit different approach, try to get to the optimum number of children. Let's look at this at the teacher staffing ratio requirements of the state. Could you review that with us, please?
Review that.
What is the teacher? Is it one per 12 or
one teacher, one qualified teacher?
Right.
The teacher must have gone to school and have their early childhood education.
Right. Per how many students?
One per 12.
Per 12. So if the number of children is 24. Then you would hire you would maximize the efficiency of the teaching staff with two teachers and 24 children. If you
right.
had 25 children, you'd have to hire a third teacher. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes. Thank you. I need some clarification on numbers again here. The staff report discusses 40. The mitigated neg dec discusses 30. I'm hearing that we may not, or the preschool may not have on site more than 30. Commissioner Hetherington was talking about something else, maximizing the student population at the school to 30. I'm very confused at this point. If we allow an enrollment of 30, how many students would we see per day?
If we allowed an enrollment of 30, it depends on the part-time children. That could drop it down to 20 children, 22, 24. It depends on the days of the weeks that work out.
Okay.
Right now, like I said, I have 18 enrolled. Just for instance, I can just throw out for instances. I have 18 enrolled and usually 10. That is our solid number.
Would be allowed. I think based on the discussion, it would be good to add a condition limiting the number of kids that could be there per day, so that it wouldn't rest on enrollment but would rest on the actual impacts of what you thought was appropriate for a per-day number. And I think that's the most easily enforceable. I believe that we can work with the state to somehow get that number on their license so that that's checked. So with a motion, if you make one, to approve, if you add a condition that specifies the maximum number of children that could be at the facility per day, I think that's the best solution and most enforceable solution.
Great. Thank you.
Commissioner Jack?
Two questions. One, because of the potential drainage issues that have been raised with regard to, particularly if you pave it with asphalt, would you have a problem leaving it in the kind of in the gravel type as it currently is, something of that along that nature?
Maybe I'm open for any suggestions that they might have if okay. It's going to create a better drainage.
That would allow the water to stay on the property more so than otherwise. Also, would you be amenable to extending the 6-foot fence down to the corner where it meets the chain link? I mean,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Can I say
sir, go ahead.
Okay. Two things are overwhelming to me right now that I think will clear everything up. If we have 40 students enrolled, and we have 30 students show up, of those 30 students, approximately a third of them have siblings. So now those two kids are coming in one car. So now you've got, instead of the 30 kids that have shown up, now you're down to 21 to 22 cars. We were talking about 30 to 60 trips a day. Of all the streets in Atascadero that I think could handle the traffic, that street is traveled by many, many people. It would be like saying we can't have another business on El Camino Real. I mean, it's already a street that is well-traveled. There's people coming. Like I said, Portola is a main thoroughfare for people going north and south, and Santa Lucia is a main thoroughfare going down to the high school. And as far as traffic goes, I think if you look at the big picture, the traffic that this will create over and above the traffic that we already take on, the safety of the people is going to be the issue. I don't think that the amount of cars that we're going to be adding to the street is going to be the issue. I think the issue is what you are comfortable with us having in the neighborhood. And we are up for any suggestions that you have, knowing that if we enroll 40 and we have, say, all 40 kids come, you're still only looking at possibly 31 to 32 cars coming and leaving, of which might only half of them come from the freeway. The other half might be coming from Portola. So you don't necessarily, I mean, you've got the yin and the yang. You got both ways going. So, but any suggestions for safety, I'm all up for. Any suggestion for the pavement of the driveway, I'm fine with. We actually have gravel now. I was going to do pavement because I thought it would be easier to mark them. It'd be easier for parking. It'd be easier for the parents to be able to enter and exit and not have any confusion. Because right now with the gravel, we can't really mark it. So it's just another thing that I was hoping to do to make it safer for everybody.
Okay, one last question, at least from me, and this would be for Mrs. Smith. If I understand you right, when you do your licensing with the state, you have to state the maximum number of children that you will be having on the premises at any time. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes, you have
and
to state that.
What certification are you currently applying for maximum number?
I have not applied until I knew what was happening here. I'm just in talks and getting the knowledge. There's a very, very, very large application booklet. The ladies helping me through that have given me the knowledge that I've answered the questions here today. I did not actually start all of the details. They don't want to even go any steps further with me until the CUP has been completed.
I'm sure you must have some idea the maximum number of children that you would like to accommodate. Can you fill us in on what your thoughts are?
I would like to accommodate exactly what we've asked for. I'd like to enroll 40, which would accommodate approximately 30 children a day, 26
to 30.
So if we
were to limit your maximum number of children on the premises to 30, would that satisfy you and make it a fiscally adequate number for you to operate?
That would That would be appropriate. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Mrs. Smith. Any other questions? Thank you. And the public comment portion is still open. If anybody would like to speak one more time, this is your chance. Seeing none, I'm going, sir, go ahead.
Can I say one more thing? I'm sorry. I don't want to tie her hands. So our house is actually capable of 70. She doesn't want anything like that. But if you limit her to only 32 or 36, knowing with what we said before, okay, if she maxes out at 32, you're only looking at 20 to 24 cars. She might be limited into having to tell people, no, you can't come today. You see what I'm saying? I mean, know that we have the capability in our facility, and we're all under state regulation, albeit under city regulation also. If you limit us on that, then our hands are going to be held for further anything. And I mean, like I said, if the safety is the issue, it's totally understandable. But if they limit it, the use permits are usually up to 40, up to 30, up to 50, up to 60. They usually go in the 10 increments. So if you only suggest 32, it's going to tie her hands.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's bring it back. I have not quite closed it. I was getting ready to. Okay, go ahead, sir.
I don't believe the issue is not the large amount of traffic flow. The issue is the impact with having a large number of kids in a residential, single-family residential area. I do not want to see or listen to a lot of kids. If you can limit the number, that's great, and I perfectly understand. The state, the community, we all need good daycare. It's a proven fact that children that go through pre-care school, daycare, preschool schools, they are an asset to the community as they get older. There is not an issue with good quality daycare. The issue is the impact, the number of kids allowed in the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tuitt. I'm closing the public comment for the last time. So let's bring it back. Commissioner O'Keefe.
I agree with the last comment that was made, and that really hasn't been addressed, and that is I have two issues. But one is the impact on a residential neighborhood. And I've heard a lot of my commissioners talk about the facility itself. State licensing agencies do this. They're not looking at the impact on the neighborhood. That's not an issue for them. They're not looking at the traffic issues in bringing the children in. They're only looking to see if their requirement is. That is narrow. There's no room for sidewalks or anything. That's why they don't have sidewalks. In the best possible situation, This setting could accommodate everything, but you have no control over that. Another problem with conditional use permits is you put conditions on them, and then monitoring them is a problem. I remember a meat cutting facility that was in a neighborhood. It functioned with a conditional use permit until it was sold. The new owner changed everything. It affected the whole neighborhood. We approved a conditional use permit for a motorcycle shop downtown. The conditions were not met. There were complaints all of the time. Conditional use permits are problematic, and this is a residential neighborhood. A small daycare facility works, but there are impacts to the neighbors, and not everybody likes to hear children playing and yelling and screaming. So I think that's an issue that we have overlooked. And, you know, as I said before, I cannot make the findings for the conditional use permit. You want to limit it to 30. Again, you can't monitor these kinds of things. And licensing, there are conditions, but licensing does not drop in every day and check on things. They have certain times when they come by. There's a high probability, listening to the applicants here, that they will abide by everything. But we don't know, and that impacts the neighborhood.
Any other comments? I'd like to state that I had some concerns about the traffic as well, and I visited Mrs. Smith this afternoon right as the high school was getting out and thinking that would be the highest traffic point of the day. And I did find that there was some traffic going by, but I did not have any trouble getting in or out of the driveway, and I was able to turn around. So the safety issues, I believe, are of concern, and as traffic increases, they may get worse. But I believe that their traffic increase will be very limited in terms of the trips that they cause at this particular school. I have some concerns about the number of kids that would be on the site. I believe that the maximum number of 30 on the site probably is doable. The 40 has some question marks for me as well. And put in the 6-foot rather than the current 5-foot solid wooden fence at the sides of the property all the way to the back fence, not the one in the middle. And I would like to see the driveway not paved. I think you made a good point, Commissioner O'Keefe, regarding permeable surfaces. But with that, I could approve this. Further discussion? Commissioner Hetherington.
I think if we could keep the number of enrolled to 30, that I could support this with the conditions. But anything over that, I'm with Commissioner O'Keefe. The character of the neighbor and the reasonable expectation of the neighborhood could be shattered by, I think, adding any more children than what are there today. But I do understand daycare is important. This is a good place for the children to be. But I think enrollment at 30 would bring it down to where I could support it.
Commissioner Moreno?
In terms of a limitation, I'd prefer to look in terms of how many students could or children could be on site at any given time. Enrollment could limit if you've got a 30 enrollment and each student's only coming once a day. You'd have six. That could hurt the business. And so if we want to really limit how many kids are there at any one point in time, I would be more comfortable looking at that number than the enrollment, because as she said, you could have enrollment of 100 and, you know, but you're only going to have 30 or 20 or whatever it might be.
Commissioner Jack?
I'm trying to think of the impact on the neighborhood. I've been in several different neighborhoods, and I think by you're technically been operating with the ability for up to 18, if I remember correctly. So you're talking about adding another 12 kids, and not going to have that big an impact on the noise factor. I agree with keeping the extending the 6-foot fence down the side. It's been in operation for 3 years now, so it doesn't materially change. There is a modest change to the neighborhood, but the mitigating factors of adding the 6-foot fence, extending it down to the chain link fence, the gravel, and so on, I can support this project with those.
6-foot high fencing. I believe one of the public statements was 80 to 90 feet of that fencing. That may be appropriate. And also limiting the height of the playground equipment.
Commissioner O'Grady?
This is kind of a balancing act for me here. I concur with Chairperson Fonzie and everything she said, except for the 30 children per day. I concur that that's how we should couch, if we are able to come to an agreement, per Ms. Gleason's recommendation, that we couch it in terms of children per day. As I did the research on the state requirements, I think they are important for us to consider, by the way. Ms. Smith confirmed that one teacher needs to be hired for every 12 children. So from an efficiency standpoint, economic standpoint, and also limiting the impact on the neighborhood, as I said, a balancing act, I'm looking at a number of 24.
Do I have any more comments or deliberation or a motion?
I'll attempt a motion. So bear with me. I move that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2008-0052 approving PLN 2008-1306 conditional use permit based on findings and subject to the conditions of approval and mitigation monitoring with the following added mitigations of any new playground equipment not to exceed 6 foot in height, the driveway be gravel rather than concrete or asphalt, that a 6 foot solid fence run from the entire length to the chain link fence that goes perpendicular to the property.
Area from the plan.
Agreed.
Do we have a second?
Can I clarify something real quick? The yes. Solid fencing, you want to make sure that both sides of the property have 6 foot solid?
No.
All the way to the rear or just the east side?
There's already requirements by the state, is my understanding, but what I'm specifying is that the eastern boundary be 6 foot fence from the street to the chain link fence.
Can I cut that down to 3 feet in the front setback? Because that's what our code requires.
Okay.
Any other questions, Kelly?
I think that's it.
Thank you.
Can we make sure that it's the revised resolution that you're adopting that we handed out earlier? With staff amendments, that will work.
So the motion is with staff amendments?
With staff amendments.
Do we have a second?
I would. Okay, a little more discussion here.
Okay. Hold on. I think Commissioner Moreno actually had it before you.
Okay.
With regards to the fence, I don't know that it needs to start at the property line of the street so much as from the house back, because the kids aren't playing out front.
True.
So I think that's where it starts now, and from there to the back of the property line.
That would be.
Otherwise, I think that will be an eyesore, quite frankly.
Yeah, I was under the impression that there was going to be solid fence all the way around the front portion of it because the state required it. But
the kids aren't out there, so.
Okay. No.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Because this is currently a residential area, I think the fencing probably will be a significant improvement. Is the fencing, the existing fencing, solid fencing, now 6 feet?
5 feet. It's my understanding it is 5 feet when I was there.
And that's on the east side. What
that would
about
be the
on
east
the other side?
From the corner of the house, I believe, all the way back to the middle section of chain link.
Okay.
And then it's chain link beyond.
Is it appropriate at this point then to for us to protect all of the neighbors?
Could you clarify? You mean fencing all
feet,
the way around
yeah,
the entire?
Feet. Well, their property extends to the rear, so that there's probably no need to fence that.
Right.
But on both sides.
Well, the house is an L-shaped and runs almost all the way down to the chain where the chain link fence is. So there's the whole house is a buffer to the other side. I believe there's already some sort of a fence that goes down there. I don't know how. I didn't pay attention to how high it was, but I think there is an existing fence there.
I believe there was also. And behind the L-shaped house, which provides a wall on one side in mm-hmm. essence, there is a workshop or a garage that's directly behind it. So there is a buffer to the west.
Okay.
It's a solid buffer.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
No.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
No, and for the record, I would like it to reflect that I'm voting no because I cannot meet the requirement for safety for the conditional use permit or compatibility with the neighborhood.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-3.
Thank you, Suzanne. Let's take a 10-minute recess, and we will return at 9:10. I call the meeting back to order. Our next item on the agenda is for 5145 El Camino Real. This is an administrative use permit. And before we start, I know there's been some question among commissioners, and I certainly have some, about exactly what is an administrative use permit. And I was hoping that you could go over that first, Kelly or Warren, to explain that to us.
Sure. Basically, an administrative use permit is something that our code uses when there's a request that's not quite as intensive or as impacting as something that would be a conditional use permit and come before the Planning Commission. Rather, administrative use permits, we hold hearings. They're held in front of the planning director or his appointee, so sometimes it's our deputy director. The neighborhood is noticed in the same way that they are for these hearings here, 300 feet. We hold them in City Hall usually during the day. And it's something that's not quite as intensive as what a conditional use would be, but still might require some neighborhood review to ensure that there's no issues sort of that we're missing or that we need to address. For example, a lot of the sloping lot adjustments to bring garages closer to the street are done through an administrative use permit review. Doesn't necessarily need the Planning Commission's review, but we do like to notify the neighbors because they generally know the neighborhood best and would be able to let us know if there's any sort of dangerous design curves or anything like that that could maybe make us not want to allow that on a particular piece of property. So this administrative use permit did go through that particular process they can expect in terms of what might be allowed.
Before we do the staff report, Kelly, I'd like to just kind of go down the commission and see if there's any concerns. I personally have some concerns about acting on this, and I'd like to ask, is Mr. Hawkins the applicant in the audience? Yes, very good. I'm not going to open it to you quite yet. I just wanted to make sure that you were here. That personally, I would like to get more information before I act on this because I do not feel competent to act on this without having some definition of banner versus changeable sign, which is not very clear in the administrative use permit. And I think this will come up time and time again. And if I understood this right, Kelly, this is in response to some problems that we've had with banners in particular. And I think it might be actually helpful to have the public weigh in as a general public on banners and changeable signs rather than act specifically for one particular applicant. So I wanted to go down and just see if anybody else shares this concern. If they do not, we'll go ahead and do this, and we probably need to anyway to comply with the law. But I just wanted to share my concerns before we start. Let's start with Commissioner O'Keefe.
Well, I called Kelly and asked her, why are we doing this and what is this all about? And this is not any reflection on the applicant. I want to make that very clear. We have so many violations. So was this precipitated by somebody making a violation, or was somebody... Because what I'm hearing, there's already some things that are out of conformity. So how did this come up?
We have been trying to enforce our banner ordinance. Just the banner ordinance. We started along El Camino Real, the north end of town, and we sent out how many letters? 100 or so, maybe more. 100 or so letters or more to all the properties along El Camino Real, the entire stretch, that had banners that were not in compliance with our banner ordinance. Out of that came some requests for sort of this changeable copy signage, which is allowed by our code through an administrative use permit because there is a need for certain businesses to be able to advertise more regularly than the banner ordinance allows. And so that's sort of how this application came
about. But what about all
about.
The people who didn't respond who were in violation? So
they're
the good
in
guy
violation.
Who responds then ends up having a big problem, the people that don't, because I can go out.
Administrative use permit. However, And the research that I've done with other cities that have wrestled with not only changeable signs, but when you get into the area of electronic changeable signs, it opens up a whole other can of worms. And I would like to separate the issue of what policies as far as signs are best for a Tascadero from any particular consideration of any particular project. And so I think some research needs to be done into the issues that other cities have wrestled with. I think it needs to be a holistic ordinance that covers electronic as well as manual changeable signs. And I think once you get into that, I think the issues will become plainer. In some of my research, one sign company said changeable signs are a prankster's dream, and so they had some way to actually lock down the letters on the sign or something like this. So there are a lot of issues here, and so I agree with Chairperson Fonzie that perhaps a different approach to this is in order.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes, I went through this and realized very quickly that I needed a lot more information. I would actually like to see one or two business workshops so that get the input from the business community as to what's needed, why it's needed, or is it needed if no one is able to do it? And that raises another issue of a legal standpoint, and since the city attorney is not here tonight, there are a couple of legal questions that I want to ask. So I would like to continue this myself.
Commissioner Moreno?
I concur with my fellow commissioners. As you said, Kelly, more of these will be coming forward, and for us to be making this decision tonight on this one and have this be the template that's used going forward, I think we need more information, more input, as others have said.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Oh, my. I thought it was going to be easy just to make the nomenclature clear, because in the zoning ordinance, it says changeable copies that you consider banning alcohol and tobacco products as being part of that display.
Commissioner Marks?
I agree with the commission at this point. I think this one's slightly different. As I understand it, the applicant is requesting changeable copy signage, but would like to use banners in place of them. Is that correct? Am I?
That's correct. Yeah. He's looking to do signs that can change more regularly than obviously a solid sign, and that can have up more regularly as our banner ordinance allows. He did mention, you know, that he has banners and would like to use those as a changeable copy signage, whereas, you know, staff would prefer a more distinct boundary between the two.
Great. Thank you. I concur with the commission.
Commissioner Hetherington?
I have another question. When I went and drove by the area, there was a sandwich sign in the sidewalk area that a bicyclist and skater came by and had to really almost go out into the street to avoid. And also, right where the gas station prices were listed, there was another sign in there. Are all three of those illegal signs?
The gas station sign is allowed. By our code, it's been there since the existence.
Is that considered a changeable copy sign?
It is considered a changeable copy sign. I believe that our code, when most of the gas stations in town were built, did have an exemption for that. I'm not sure if this current code does. But when they were built, there was an allowance for that. And I believe the state requires the pricing to be displayed. So that's how that's gotten through. The sandwich board signs, we do allow one sign per business with a permit. The Public Works Department reviews the location of the sign to make sure that it's not impeding the 4-foot minimum required accessible path of travel. I did not check with the Public Works Department on whether one of his signs is permitted or not.
Okay. Commissioner O'Keefe?
I can clarify with regard, excuse me, Commissioner Hetherington. I can clarify with regard to the sandwich signs because, and the reason I'm so cynical about this whole thing is because there have been numerous meetings about signs, same sandwich sign, and yes, it is on the sidewalk, and it's not supposed to be on the sidewalk, is also at the Chalk Mountain Liquor Store because I was down there, and I saw the same proliferation of signs on that end of town as I saw up there. I think it's a waste of time. Nothing ever happens. During the election at where Golden China is, there were so many sandwich signs out there with all the candidate signs, and nobody said a word. Golden China has two signs on the sidewalk. They don't have a permit for that. So, you know, why are we even bothering to do this? I counted all the signs that were up there. And by the way, most of the signs that he has on the wooden fence there, there were... there was a big Firestone sign. Then there were two small, for Firestone beer, two smaller ones for 12-pack. And by the way, my favorite domestic beer is Firestone. Then there was a, then there were two others. Then there were two other smaller for 18-pack and 30-packs of a different brand of beer. Then there were four banner signs hanging in front of the building. Two were for Bud for 18 packs. One was for Natural for an 18 pack, and there was one for food. So all over the place. And I'm not picking on the applicant. He came in and asked for something. I just think until we really mean business, we're wasting our time.
Thank you, Joan. Let's take this back to Warren and ask legally, how do we go forward? Do we need to go ahead and do the full hearing and have the staff report and the public comment and so forth? Or can we go ahead and continue this at this point in time?
I think you can continue it right now if you don't need the staff report. I think if you want to give us some direction on the types of issues that you would like addressed before it's brought back to you, I think that would be helpful. We believe that this probably is an issue that we'll raise with the council at strategic planning, trying to get some better direction on just how we're going to deal with signage issues along El Camino Real.
And point two on the same question, where does this leave poor Mr. Hawkins, who did the right thing and has come tonight and waited patiently? Will he be able to continue operating as he currently is until this is resolved?
I think that's kind of how staff's going to look at his case, is that while this is pending, we'll not take any
in this. Commissioner O'Keefe, I think you had the most vocal response. Why don't you give us your ideas first?
I don't think we should do anything.
Okay. Commissioner O'Grady?
Okay. I think we should have the benefit of some research that enumerates the implications of allowing changeable signs, identification of potential problems, pitfalls, and I'd like it broadened to, as far as changeable signs, electronic signs, because... I mean, I can see, for example, the development, future development at Del Rio might want to have a lot of electronic signs. So, and then perhaps the next step would actually be a draft ordinance that not only has the legalese, but then it has in plain English some of the issues that the ordinance is intended to resolve, or even ask questions. If you say it this way, is this what the Planning Commission wants? If you say it another way, you know, this is what the result is. Which do you want? So there could be a way to go about that solicits input from the Commission as well as informs them. And then Commissioner O'Keefe, the thrust of her comments is, as I understand them, is enforcement. And I've made similar comments at other Planning Commission meetings. It's a bigger picture, I think you'd agree, than just signs. Signs might be one of the most egregious areas. But I think while there's the general enforcement mechanism outlined in our municipal code, I think perhaps a little more thought might be given to maybe a special approach for signs. And then, you know, different zoning areas, I think as far as changeable signs are going to have different requirements. For example, in adult zoned areas, I think that's got to be given some very careful thought. And there needs, as Commissioner Jack mentions, there needs to be some legal input into this as well. So I'll be quiet now. That's everything I had listed here.
Commissioner Jack?
In general, I'd agree with Commissioner O'Grady. I would like to provide the business community specifically at least one workshop where we can get some input from that community as to what they need, why they need it, or what
needs to be what the commission considers. And I would like to stress that enforcement is also a revenue stream, you know, so if we are that short on cash, maybe we should start finding the people, and that could resolve itself. Fat chance it hasn't happened yet, but one can hope.
Commissioner Marks?
I don't have anything to add.
Okay. I think the only one that I don't know how to clarify exactly, but one of the things that was in the report was the number of banners and signs. So I'd really like to address the number allowable. And I think this would be something that would be valuable to have the input of the business community, because I know several of them have spoken to me that they're struggling and they're trying to compete with other businesses, and we don't really know how to help them or how to make their business appealing in their appearance as well. Well, to be determined. So I think that we need some more business input. Okay, I'm going to attempt to make, yes.
Madam Chair, real quick, I forgot that we haven't opened it up actually for any public comments. We probably should do that before we make a final motion, just because this was noticed as a public hearing.
Very good. All right, let's go ahead and open this to public comment. And Mr. Hawkins, if you'd like to speak, this is a good time for it.
Well, good evening, everybody. My name is Michael Hawkins, and I own Stagecoach Liquor. My main concern and the reason why I'm here is because I was getting letters from the city saying that I wasn't in compliance and that I was going to get a citation. Well, I, like you, Ms. O'Keefe, when I was driving up and down the road, everybody's not in compliance. And there's, as far as I can see, there's no way to bring everyone into compliance. So I went and saw Kelly and asked her what I should do. And here I am. So I don't think we got very far tonight, but, you know, we need signage as a business. We need to show people what we have. Like, I'm a liquor store. Well, you may pull in to get gas, but you don't know I serve food. So I need to have some type of sign that says I serve food. And then I need a sign to say, you know, I got milk that's on deal. And this may sound silly to you guys, but I have employees that have families that depend on me to generate business so they can get paid so their lives can go on. And that's what I'm trying to do. I don't want to have more signs than the guy next door, but I don't want the guy next door to have more signs. I don't know what else to say except there are a lot of people in this town about to go under. And we need to support these businesses. And I drive, like, on Morrill Road, the new Chevron. They have a ton of signs. But, you know, it looks good. I don't have a problem with their signage. I think it looks great. It looks inviting, you know. Circle K next to me, they took all their signs down, and I told Kelly, I go, Kelly, go look at that building. It looks ugly now. They needed the signs to make it look good, to make it look appealing, to make you want to walk in and buy something. Signs are good if they're done properly. Now, if I go buy a business and they have signs that are ripped and torn, odds are I'm not going to stop at that business. But if I go buy a business where the signs are nice and clean and well kept, odds are I'll probably drive in there, especially if there's a good promotion on some product. So signs are necessary. And that's why I'm here tonight. And that's about it. I would like to say one more thing. Hi, Mom.
Okay, are there any questions for Mr. Hawkins? Any questions?
I'd just like to make a comment. Thank you for bringing the issue, because it does need to be dealt with, and people need to understand what it's all about and
why all the signs are out there, and we need to come to some resolution.
Next. Quickly.
I also want to say that I appreciate that you have a conscience and did take some action. So I respect you for doing that.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Tom Johnson. A couple of quick comments. Thank you very much for your comments. And this is nice to see other businessmen in town take a proactive approach to having a nice signing, effective signing, but good-looking signing. It does a lot for the business. It does a lot for the town. Employees, everything, as you said. We do need a comprehensive sign ordinance. We can't be, there must be some city in this county that has a good sign ordinance, a comprehensive sign ordinance, enforceable sign ordinance that becomes possibly a revenue source, as stated earlier. And it would have to grandfather in some existing signs, at least for a period of time. There are a lot of issues here. Yes, you're going to need a study session. As Councilman Jack or Commissioner Jack suggested, yes, all these things have to be taken into consideration. I would love to participate. I'm a business person in town. I'm an optometrist, and I also want to see some that knew what was going on, and some didn't have a clue. So obviously, you use someone who does. So it's good for the whole town if you look at all aspects. I look forward to working on that study session with you. Anyone that wants to participate, if you do have it, that's all.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'm going to close the public comment portion unless someone else would like to speak. It's now closed. Let's bring it back to the commission. If you don't mind, I'll try to sum it up since I took notes on this. I will make a motion that we'd like to direct staff to continue this item to come up with a comprehensive sign ordinance that would include the following points. Number one, research into implications of allowing changeable copy signs and electronic signs. Two, draft the ordinance plainly stated what is allowable and what is not allowable. Number three, enforcement is to be spelled out with special approach for signs is what I have. Okay. And number four, zoning areas may have different requirements, so we need clarification on the zoning areas. Number five, to provide the business community with at least one workshop for their input. Number six, to make a distinction between banner and fixed permanent signs. Number seven, enforcement to be considered as a revenue producer. Number eight, to research the number of allowable banners and have a rationale for that number. Number nine, to make some kind of appearance recommendations. And number 10, to include other cities' ordinances regarding signs. And maybe we should put a number 11 since Mr. Johnson suggested that this be disseminated to sign companies so that they can attend the hearing.
Good.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Jack.
Is there any discussion?
Yes, Commissioner O'Keefe.
Okay, as a point of clarification with staff, what was point number 3?
Enforcement is to be spelled out.
Isn't enforcement spelled out now? Because this is larger than just this sign. The list that she gave you does not just refer to the changeable signs. Isn't enforcement already spelled out?
There is an enforcement process on the books. I think what we need to do is discuss whether that is something that we have political support for, if there needs to be any changes. Obviously, enforcement's been an ongoing problem that we haven't been effective at. So I think enforcement's definitely...
And there's not any resolution. There's a lot of time that's wasted. Okay, what was point 5?
Provide business community with at least one workshop for input.
Workshop for what? For just the changeable signs or all signage? Because there was a workshop about a year and a half ago with regard to the banner signs and with regard to the sandwich signs. So, and then banner and fixed signs, that's been discussed to death, hasn't it?
Well, we did do a review of it. We did make changes about 2.5 years ago. So I think that's something we'll need to revisit, make sure there's consensus that those are the correct rules.
And what about allowable banners? That was also discussed with time limits, and that's been, I could point out another example that where it's not being enforced. The regular sign has already been up there, that urgent care center out there by the post office. They have a big banner sign, but they already have their permanent sign. You know, I mean, this just goes on and on and on. So, you have a long list, but my point is most of this stuff has been discussed with the exception of the issue that he brought up.
Well, I think perhaps it would be helpful for the business community to hear it again, and that's why the workshop for their input may be helpful to go over these points again. They may not be aware of them. I think what is really triggering this in my mind, Joan, is the changeable copy sign is something rather new that we haven't heard that term before.
Right, nor but you've expanded this into the whole, almost the whole sign ordinance.
Right.
Think about when we just did the Wiener Schnitzel, that whole issue came up about that. We've discussed those to death. This is definitely a new issue. The other ones are old issues.
I think we need to take a comprehensive look at this. That's why we want to perhaps call this a comprehensive sign ordinance. Rework it because it's not clear, obviously. We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
No.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-1.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Appreciated the thoroughness with which you make your presentations to our city, to our commission here, and we'll miss you. Thanks again.
Commissioner Jack?
I'd like to echo that, Steve. It's been a pleasure. And you've been very instructive, and I wish you well. I also have another item. I'd like to, since there will be some changes on the Planning Commission, I'd like to agendize for the next meeting the item of an interim chair and vice chair for the December-January period, because actual elections won't take place until February, as I understand it.
Any others? Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Well, I wanted to say thank you to Steve. He's been a real inspiration in his architectural bent in our community. He's improved, I think, very much some of the applications that we've had put forth with his ideas. And I also want to thank Commissioner O'Keefe and Commissioner Marks for their service to this commission. I think tonight is their last night, and I know you have both been an inspiration to me.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes, this is my last night. Thank you. Steve, thank you very much. It has been a pleasure to work with you, and you've added immeasurably to the quality of projects that we've approved. I'd like to say it's been a privilege to serve the citizens of Atascadero. It's been a privilege to work with a talented, capable, and competent city staff. It's been a privilege and an honor to work with six Atascadero citizens as my fellow commissioners, citizens that all share the love and respect for this community. As a commission, we have demonstrated civilized analysis, thoughtful decision-making, and a team effort. Over the last 2 years, this commission has improved and approved nearly every project brought before it. I have some hopes for the future. I hope that missions to set the example through practice and discourage incivility through zero tolerance. 18th century author Mary Montag said, "Civility costs nothing and buys everything." Finally, I hope that our community and our leaders work hard to improve our self-image and self-esteem through proactive thoughts and deeds, rather than adopting the helpless posture of a victim. The reason people blame things on others is that there is only one other choice. And with that, I thank you, Atascadero, and thank you all.
Thank you. Commissioner O'Keefe?
Steve, I wanted to say thank you for adding a lot of architectural enhancements and good recommendations for colors. I think by adding this, the construction that has taken place really looks good. So that's where I see your big contribution. And I find it very ironical. You're going to Soledad, and the town is really, the downtown has come alive. Unfortunately, a super Walmart is going in. You've got a big job to keep that little downtown viable. It's going to be a real challenge for you.
I'd like to also thank you, Steve. You've been here a long time, and it's been a pleasure working with you. You have taught me a lot about architecture and other planning principles, and I still remember to this day how to take a building and put it into three horizontal pieces and figure out whether it's got a good architectural design or not. And there were simple things that you taught us that really have stuck with us, and I appreciate it very much and wish you only the best in Soledad. This is actually my last meeting as well. That it's rather a bittersweet moment as I put my tag on for the last time to come to the meeting. I thought, wow, I've been doing this for almost 10 years. And I will miss all of you, and we'll hope that we can maintain contact and hope to have your input. I'm not real good at saying things, so I've written some things out, some thank you cards to each of you, but I just wanted to thank you for your service to our community. With that said, director's report.
Yes, thank you. Our next meeting is December 16th, and we've got two items right now. We've got an accessory structure permit, getting everybody up to speed, doing training. That sort of thing is going to be a big priority for next year. And staff-wise, we're already starting to look at that, try to figure out how we're going to work through that. So that'll be part of our goals for next year as we get a new group and try to get everybody up to speed so that we can work effectively as a group to approve the best projects for Atascadero. And then I'd also like to, you know, echo everybody's sentiments, you know, wishing Steve McHarris all the best in Soledad. He's done a great job for the city. He's really helped to reshape the community development department. Steve, you know, is one of the, has been here a long time, and he's seen a lot of changes. We've pretty much seen a whole new staff. All the planners, you know, were trained by Steve. We've seen a lot of changes at our in our building department and front counter. Steve was real helpful in, you know, bringing that group of people together and really helping to build a department that's been able to do a lot of good work for the city. And I wish him all the well in Soledad. That'll conclude my report.
Thank you. With that said, let's adjourn the meeting.